Stephen Craig Reed, known as Bill to his friends, is a military geopolitical expert with Cold War background. He was born into a naval family on the island of Guam and served as a Navy submariner. He's got a lot of expertise on North Korea, among many things. He's a New York Times bestselling author two times over. He's got a new book coming out called Spies of the Deep, The Untold Truth About the Most Terrifying Incident in Submarine Naval History and How Putin Used the Tragedy to Ignite a New Cold War. Wow, talk about a provocative title. We're excited to have him on, a new guest to the show. Bill, welcome to the Power Hour.
Well, thank you. Great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Let's start with something. I don't even know what to make of this. You have a lot of experience with North Korea. Kim Jong-un, I guess, disappeared. I mean, I don't know. What in the world happened with him?
Well, we don't know yet. They're saying that he didn't undergo any surgery, and there are rumors that he may have resurfaced or may not. There are video footage clips showing him at a in a news program at a factory, but there's nothing showing him holding up today's newspaper, so we're not positive that this is recent footage. It could be a ploy. We just don't know. And he has not, at the age of 36, he still has not yet determined who his successor will be. We don't know if that'll be his sister, Kim Yo-young, although it's a patriarchal society, so unlikely, or his brother, Kim Jong-chol, considered a bit too weak to lead. So it's still up in the air. We just don't have the answers as of yet.
All right, what would America, let's say Kim Jong-un is out of the picture, what would be the best case scenario for our interest, do you feel?
Well, most likely that would be his sister being in control for some period of time, perhaps until his son, who is still quite young, can be old enough to lead. That may be one scenario. Hopefully what won't happen is we would have head of state Cho Ryan-hye or former state premier Park Ping-yu, because either of those could be, as they say, loose cannons on the deck. We just don't know what they may decide to do in terms of their agenda. So our best case scenario may be the sister, at least for now.
You've floated the scenario or opinion that this turmoil could be a real disaster as far as nuclear war. Run through that scenario. Why should we be so concerned about nuclear right now with Kim Jong-un being up in the air?
Well, we currently have several dozen ships that are, if not out of action, such as the Roosevelt and the Reagan, they are weakened by the COVID-19 virus. So our Navy is not at full speed. And we have to remember that in March of 2010, a North Korean Yonah-class submarine sunk a South Korean frigate, the Cheonan, and 46 sailors were killed on that ship. So that bolstered their military resolve, if you will, and that was with the current leader, Kim Jong-un. So who knows what will happen with a new leader who may want to leverage this. And the problem is that we photographed them transporting nuclear material to the Senpo Naval Base last year, and that's where they keep their Senpo submarines that could now have nuclear-tipped torpedoes. One of those torpedoes could take out a 10-mile radius or a dozen of our ships, or an entire carrier strike group could be taken out by one nuclear-tipped torpedo. And they sunk a ship in 2010. So who knows what they'll do going forward.
There's been this discussion, you say our Navy is somewhat out of action. There's also been a discussion that Bill Clinton, as a sign of good faith or whatever, made it so only half of our submarines are out at a time. What do you know about that?
Well, we do know that our submarine force has been weakened quite a bit, and Clinton and others have been involved in various different situations to mitigate some circumstances that may transpire. And having served aboard submarines previously, very close quarters, the spread of coronavirus could happen in a matter of hours, let alone days. And you're very tight closeness on those submarines. And so that can weaken us, and our submarines are one of our major deterrents. And we have to remember that North Korea has the third largest Navy, 780 ships, 80 subs. And even though they're diesel submarines, they can be very quiet. We lost a number of these submarines. We couldn't find them for a week when they went quiet on their battery. This was a few years ago. So it's concerning. We have to be a bit worried right now what will happen because of our weakened state.
What do you make of all the back and forth with Kim and Trump? And we're talking, we're getting along, we're not. The reports saying that North Korea is thumbing their nose at us. I mean, what is really going on in the discussions back and forth between the United States and North Korea?
Well, quite likely there were some overtures made to keep us from getting too close to what they were really up to. Now, again, we photographed them shipping nuclear material that they took from their nuclear reactor. This was sent to their Senpo naval base. That's where they keep their Senpo subs. And these subs have now ballistic missile capability, some of their submarines, or they could have nuclear-tipped torpedoes. So, yes, there were some overtures made, and, of course, we have to go to the dance. We don't have a choice. But a lot of these overtures most likely were made in order to keep the left hand occupied while the right hand was equipping their submarines with nuclear-tipped torpedoes or rockets or missiles.
I'm of the opinion when this first started to break, I found it very hard to believe that North Korea, you know, it's like being in first grade. You can't go to the bathroom without the teacher's permission. Am I wrong to assume that North Korea can't go to the bathroom without China's position or permission?
Not necessarily. So, again, China is very much involved. They sent medical doctors. So why would they send medical doctors if, you know, we didn't have a very serious situation going on with their leader? And yes, there are some things that they can influence and perhaps even control, but they don't have complete control. I don't think any country has complete control over North Korea. There are a lot of things they can hide and a lot of things that are not going to be disclosed. It's very difficult these days, even with some of our sophisticated capabilities, to know what's really going on inside some of these closed rooms.
We've had Joel Skousen on from World Affairs Brief, and he's, you know, probably in the minority, I don't know, but he's of a pretty strong opinion that North Korea is there as a long-term as a nuclear ops against America, a way to attack America. Is that paranoid? Is that delusional? Is that, what's your thoughts there?
In terms of a potential nuclear strike, a lot of this depends upon what buttons get pushed and who comes to power, who remains in power if Kim Jong is still around, or who will come to power and who decides who might push a button here and there again to wield power or just perhaps threaten. So it could be that they don't actually launch any nuclear weapons, but a threat can cause us to not be able to basically dictate what we would like to in relation to North Korea or allow them to be able to dictate some things they would like to do because there's a threat or either our outlying territories such as Guam or maybe the Philippines or South Korea.
What concerns you the most about all this? I don't even know quite what to ask. Is a real what really important questions should I ask? What is the most concerning to you?
I think the most concerning is the fact that, as I mentioned, they've got the third largest Navy, and they have a lot of quiet submarines. Now, again, today they are a little bit noisy in terms of their diesel capabilities, but when they go quiet on the battery, we have lost them. And so if they move forward to what we call AIP. This is air independent propulsion. They're very, very quiet, new, more modern submarines that are diesel, but they can stay on battery power for up to about a week. And if they equip some newer submarines with either ballistic missile capabilities or nuclear torpedoes, then they could become a nuclear power, if you will, and an unstable one. So the last thing you want to have is weapons of mass destruction in the hand of unstable and unknown individuals who we just don't know what they're going to do. And one wrong move, one mistake, one button pushed here or there could result in a nuclear disaster. And that could be very serious in terms of the world economy.
What action should we take in light of what you just said?
I think we don't really have a choice. At this point, we're going to have to get very strict and stern in relation to this country and go beyond the typical, let's just send a few UN inspectors in. That's not going to cut it. UN inspectors have notoriously not found all kinds of things in the past in relation to either bioweapons or nuclear weapons, et cetera. So we're going to have to take some very serious steps toward North Korea to make sure that they do not move forward with any type of nuclear program and equip nuclear submarines.
How is China going to feel about that? Because I think they would have to have an opinion about it.
Difficult situation because, China, there's a love-hate relationship going on there, definitely. They don't want to have a loose cannon on the deck, if you will, in North Korea. At the same time, they have a relationship. They have an economic relationship, a trade relationship with this country. And so difficult in terms of balancing their decisions in relation to North Korea. You're right. This is going to be a very tough thing for China. But I think at the end of the day, they're going to have to look at whoever comes to power as keeping that person, whoever it is, under control until we really know who they are and what their plans are.
I would have to think that China likes North Korea there because they present a buffer between themselves and South Korea and really America, de facto America. Is that true? They kind of like that buffer there, I would think. Yes? No?
No question. And again, we've seen this with Russia quite a bit, with us in some respects in the U.S. We always have proxies. So you've got proxy countries that you can do things with, or you can test certain military weaknesses here and there. And a lot of times that's what's going on with these various different countries. We'll see a particular country make a move here or there. And we know that it's actually buttons being pushed by another world power just to see how far those buttons can be pushed and not have it come directly back to the country pushing the buttons.
Interesting. Well, that's a feeling I get about China. That's certainly the way I feel about them. Now, let me get to Kim Jong-un himself. We don't know if he's out of the hospital. I don't know. It sounds like you probably don't know either. It's not like he's holding up a newspaper, like you said, which I thought was funny. Let's assume that he is dead. Now, I'm not so naive to think that coincidences can happen. I find it extremely rare that somebody in his position, the leader of the country that he is, in between America and China, that anything happens to him by coincidence. I mean, has a thought crossed your mind that maybe our intelligence took him out, maybe China's intelligence took him out, maybe North Korea's intelligence took him out? Has that crossed your mind at all?
Certainly could have been a coup. It's hard to say. I'm not so sure about us or China taking him out only because we don't know who's going to replace him. So if there was a clear succession and we had a clear picture of who was going to come to power, or perhaps if we see within the next few weeks that's the case and someone comes to power that perhaps is pro-China or pro-U.S., then yes, we could we could certainly speculate at that point that there may have been some things behind the scenes. At this point, we won't know until, A, we are confirmed that he is gone, and B, we know who has taken his place. At that point, we can begin to speculate as to who might have been behind the scenes and who might have had an agenda to push that.
Am I being paranoid by even asking that question? I find it hard to believe that coincidences happen with somebody like him.
Don't think you're being paranoid. We've seen this happen more times than we can count. And you just never know. Today, it's not that difficult to make something look like it was an accident for natural causes.
This question may not yet be able to be answered because we don't know who's going to succeed him, but I'll ask it anyway. Who benefits most if Kim is out of the picture?
I would say that at this point, North Korea benefits the most if you've got a coup going on, because, you know, again, if there are those behind the scenes who are vying for power, who have felt that he perhaps may have been too weak and may have not stood strong against either China in many cases or the U.S., then there may have been reasons for a coup. On the other hand, it may be that China benefits, depends on who comes to power. You know, there may have been someone that maybe China feels that they can control. For example, his brother. If his brother comes to power, he's considered a bit weak. And if that is a benefit to China, then they'll benefit obviously quite greatly from that change of power.
This might be a hard question to ask or to answer for you, but obviously we are having quite a financial problem here in America, in the world, not just America, but specifically the United States. How does this factor into any long-term plans or what have you, or does it on a geopolitical scale, on a naval scale, on a military scale? Do they consider this, and what do they see in the near future financially in the United States?
Excellent question. Of course, we have a lot of economic situations that could cause some geopolitical turmoil around the world. So we've talked about North Korea, and we have to draw a straight line now back to natural resources, regardless of what may transpire into the future. Right now, the world revolves around oil and gas. That's just the reality of today. And so that causes some sparks across a number of different areas. North Korea, of course, is having difficulty, as all countries are, with these natural resources and their economic sanctions, et cetera. And so there may be a coup in relation to warming with China, and China then being able to see some capabilities with the South China Sea that North Korea might be able to help them in relation to their desire to lock up resources. We're talking trillions of dollars worth of resources in the South China Sea. So how does that benefit China? Well, if, again, North Korea is able to pull some eyeballs away from the South China Sea or cause our military to be more involved with North Korea and weakened such that China can then take more control in the South China Sea, that could be a reason for what's going on. So there's all kinds of things going on economically that could be a cause for what we're seeing.
One of the biggest economic things that people are looking at is the dollar system, the petrodollar. We went off the gold in 71. It became the petrodollar. Basically, all trade around the world, especially specifically in oil, or most of it, was done in dollars for decades. Now that's starting to change. Are people, when I say people, are countries getting sick of that, of being beholden to the United States that way? Are they sick of interference with sanctions? What's the temperature of people, their attitude towards the United States on either one of those fronts around the world?
Well, no question. As you mentioned, Nixon took us off the gold standard and cut a deal with the Saudis so that all oil and gas trades would be made with U.S. dollars. That's bolstered our economy and our dollars ever since. However, a few years back, China and Russia negotiated a $400 billion natural gas deal not backed by U.S. dollars. And China and Russia both, as well as other countries, have been moving away from the petrodollar to the U.S. dollar backing trades. We've seen this in Syria. We saw it in Iraq. We've seen it around the world. And this has caused conflicts and caused concerns because if our dollar is weakened, especially now after what's happened with the virus, then our economy could be in serious trouble. If we think things are bad now, if our dollar is weakened even further because more oil and gas trades are done with other currencies, then we could be in a serious situation. And our ability to then wield our desire in terms of agendas and that being moved away over to Russia, for example, sanctions and things of that nature. You know, who controls the currency? Controls a lot of geopolitical decisions.
What does that look like? Let's say we break, the world breaks from dollar dominance, at least to some degree. What does that look like for the United States?
Well, in the worst case, it could be far worse than what we're seeing now. We think it's hard to get toilet paper today, standing in lines. We'll see 2008 times 10. We'll start to see defaults on mortgages. We'll start to see unemployment like we've never seen. I mean, right now, we're thinking this is temporary. Think of it more long-term, such that we are essentially in breadlines and Great Depression. That's how serious it could get because, again, our economy would no longer be backed by anything.
Wow. Bill Reed, you're hitting it hard, my man. Stay tuned on the other side. We'll learn how we can get his books and more about Bill himself and what he seeks for the future. So good to have you with us. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Power Hour.
My name is Daniel Estulin. The decisions we make now with the global systemic collapse will decide whether we live as society or die. With the global economic depression approaching, it is necessary to prepare for it immediately. The basis of survival is a correct understanding of the ongoing processes. The collapse will result in the breakdown of countries, the end of the current planetary economic model, the rise of the regionalization of the economies that are going to replace sovereign countries, end of democracy, the rise of global dictatorship. Where do we go from here? What will the post-crisis world look like? What should families do to preserve their savings and to survive? Please join us in an upcoming webinar with me, Daniel Estulin.
The Global Transformation Post-COVID-19 Webinar with Daniel Estulin, May 14th at 6 p.m. Reserve your tickets today at thepowerhour.com. That's thepowerhour.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made. Good for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
We'll get back to Bill Reed in just a second. WCraigReed.com is his website. His new book, Spies of the Deep, you can get wherever books are sold. You can find out more about his website. He's on all over the TV talking and certainly an important opinion here about these naval issues. Thepowermall.com. That's where you get the great products, where you bless your life, where you, it's about your power. It's about your independence. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. And never before in the history of our country since probably winter 1776 has, the idea of America been more in jeopardy. So hold on to that idea. Hold on to that concept of who you are, what you are, and your health is a very important part of that. And be able to make yourself more full of vigor, because you're going to need it. And these are crazy times. These are interesting times, as the Chinese curse goes. You are living in interesting times. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Also make you aware, very important thing, Daniel Estelin, we've had requests for this. We brought it up. He's going to do a webinar. It's a paid webinar where he's going to go very deep in his expertise on the area and what people can do. I highly recommend this. It's $20. We are going to be giving you some free stuff with it to try to make. I don't like to charge, but you know you have to on some of these things. You just have to. If I just save your emails. You don't understand. You want this type of information. Do you think it's free to do this and make these sacrifices? It isn't. There's a webinar. It's going to be Daniel Esselin. You can ask him questions on the webinar. You can also, you're going to get his deep insight into this and what you need to do, what you can do. Very important on the webinar. Call Jay 877-817-9829 to learn more, and we'll go from there. Also the Healthy Balance from Mother Earth Minerals is back at the Power Mall. Matthew Pfeiffer will be on later this week with REM Sleep and the Tranquil Formula. And so all those, 877-817-9829, thepowermall.com. Thank you so much for your support, ladies and gentlemen. Getting back to Bill. Bill, where can people get your books? What's the best place to people find you? I know you're a New York Times bestseller.
Anywhere books are sold, but my website, as you mentioned, is W. Craig, C-R-A-I-G, W. Craig Reed, R-E-E-D, WCraigReed.com. And all the information is up there.
Very good. The before the break, we were discussing the situation with the petrodollar, with Korea, with what have you. is this a big enough deal to go to war over? You know, if these countries decide, hey, we're dropping the petrodollar, is this from our perspective, is this going to cause us to go to war?
It certainly could. So what we're seeing are some moves, especially by Russia, in relation to locking up various different resources, and this is primarily up in the Arctic. What's happened is while he was invading Ukraine, for example, he strong-armed the UN to grant all the economic rights to a huge area in the Sea of Okhotsk. We're talking trillions of dollars worth of oil and gas and natural resources. And he also tried to do the same up near the North Pole. That's not yet gone through. But he's also locking up the Northern Sea Route. And that route is very important. 90% of our trade goes across the various different sea lanes, Strait of Hormuz, Panama Canal, and so on, Malacca. These are choke points. And this route now shaves 40% of the time cost off of shipping goods all the way from Europe across Russia and past Alaska. Russia controls that. And we've talked about sending a phone op, which is basically a freedom of navigation operation, to send our ships and so forth up there to show Putin that he can't do that. Well, we don't have any ships that can really go up there and operate in the Arctic.
Why not?
We just haven't focused on that area. We've not hardened our warships for Arctic operation. We've only got a few submarines that can crack through hard ice. They have dozens, and they have six naval bases up there. They've fortified. We're bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Trump talked about buying Greenland. Was this kind of in response? I mean, explain that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you know, the Danes aren't going to let that happen, but they have a lot of natural resources over around Greenland as well. And China would like a lot of those. Russia, of course, who wouldn't? But a lot of it has to do with the sea route that's going past Canada and also past the Greenland area. It's another sea route that's opening up with the ice melting. So it may be a little bit tongue-in-cheek going on there, but maybe not.
You're a, you know, this is kind of a little different question, but I'll ask it. You're a veteran. You seem to be a patriot. You seem to be a very forward-thinking, a real American. You see everything that's going on in this country with the virus, even before. Our country seems to be forgetting our heritage, seems to be forgetting the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, what have you. We seem to be taking a turn away from our foundation. Do you agree with that? What do you feel as a patriot, as a veteran, when you see that?
Absolutely. One of my books was a leadership book, and that book had a foreword written by Gordon England, former Secretary of the Navy and also Deputy Secretary of Defense, and had some phenomenal interviews from incredible leaders. Sean O'Keefe, former SecNav, also he was head of NASA, and just a number of three-star admirals, generals, just incredible leaders. And what I heard from them are these leadership values. They truly understood what being a leader really is. And yes, I agree that unfortunately, regardless of who we love or hate as a leader, in terms of our core values as a country, as expressed by some of these incredible leaders, we have seemingly taken a turn away. And I don't think it's necessarily one or two or even three leaders we can point a finger at. I think it's just our system in general. And, you know, as we heard, you know, drain the swamp. We got a lot of bad actors in that swamp, and it's going to take some time for that to get cleaned up.
Why have we turned away?
I think a lot of it has to do with greed and, you know, just being human nature, and we've allowed ourselves to do that. We often, as Americans, we say, you know what, we don't have any power. Other people have the power. That's not true. The reason why we don't have the power is because we're apathetic. We've grown weak, not because of our leaders. We've grown weak because of us. And I'm just going to state the obvious here. You know, even though there are people who may rightly believe that some of their rights have been violated by lockdowns, et cetera, let's be honest, a lot of people out there are complaining because they are burdened. You know, I can't go get my hair done. Come on. We need to be a little stronger than that, and we are a bit entitled and spoiled as a nation. And we need to understand that sometimes we just have to be a little stronger with ourselves and learn how to say no to ourselves and not allow the mainstream media to say, hey, this candidate or that candidate is better for us, but do a little homework ourselves. Take a little time to find out who the best candidates are and elect leaders. Find out what a leader really is and elect someone who is a true leader.
Well, our America is the ultimate spoiled nation, and when I mean spoiled, I mean individual. We are the individualistic nation. I don't think there's any question about it. And we believe our rights come from God, and that government, they can tell us certain things, or they can direct us certain ways, but it's our government, and they can't tell us other things. And one of the things, whether it's petty or whether it's not petty, I think it's kind of the crux. You can't, I don't care if there's a virus or not. You can't tell me not to sit on the, in the beach by myself and watch the sunrise. To me, I don't know. Tell me, you may have a different opinion.
Well, I agree with you in that sense. And I think no question that if people are exercising proper cautions, that freedoms should be allowed. The unfortunate truth is that when we say we're going to open this or open that, it's up to us to take responsibility and to do the right thing and to not cause jeopardy to other people. It's one thing to say, I want to sit on the beach and watch the sunset by myself 6 feet away from someone else. But if we abuse that privilege by getting 6 inches away from someone else, then what choice do we give our government? Right. So if we want those freedoms, then we have to take responsibility to be grateful for those freedoms and not cause harm to other people just so that we can have our freedoms.
Well, I'll take exception to one word that you said. I mean, in general, I think you have a very valid point, but you used the word privilege. We don't have privileges. We have rights in America. And I think that is a big difference. Where do you think this is going to go? Let me ask you that. As we get forward here, we're supposedly opening up. Some states are, some states aren't. You're seeing California is a little schizophrenic. The governor says one thing. The county commissioner in Huntington Beach says the beaches are open. The governor says no, they're not. And there's a back and forth. The sheriff says we're not enforcing the governor's actions. There's a little schizophrenia going on. Where do you think this is going?
Difficult question, no doubt about it. And having served in the military, I have a very strong belief and feeling that I will defend to my death the right for someone else to have a different opinion and to voice that and to have our amendments, our freedom of speech. However, I also strongly believe that our rights, as you say, end where it jeopardizes someone else's life. I think that really is where we have to draw some reasonable lines. I can say that I have the right to do this or that, but if I am jeopardizing someone else's life, then I have to take responsibility for that and say, okay, I do have this right, but my right ends when I'm pointing that gun at someone else's head and flipping that cylinder and pulling the trigger. And so go ahead.
What do you mean? What do you mean by it? Do you mean it in terms of the virus, or what do you mean? Give me an example of what you're talking about.
Well, the virus or anything else. So again, you know, a lot of times we want to be able to do this or to do that, but we also have to take precaution that what we want to do isn't causing someone else to suffer or to have pain or for their life to be in jeopardy. And that's really what our rights are all about.
Well, that's hard to define that line. And I think that what government has done is they've tried to define those lines and become more strict on where those lines are drawn, which I don't think they should be able to. It's like you can make the same argument about cars. Well, cars jeopardize people, so should we not drive? So where's the line on that? So with the virus, like Walmart, can I go to Walmart and buy a pack of meat or whatever, or I gotta, what have you? Walmart's open, but my neighborhood Five and Dime is closed. Why is the government telling me that the Five and Dime, it's dangerous at the Five and Dime, but it's not dangerous at Walmart? So then if I want to go to Walmart, I'm taking responsibility and I'm taking risk. Can I not take risk? Can I not make the decision? And so then if I'm, how am I risking for somebody else if they're taking the same risk and they understand that risk? So the Five and Dime, the virus is deadly at the Five and Dime, but it's not deadly at Walmart. There's just a lot of inconsistencies there, and it's hard to swallow that, Bill.
Yeah, I think you're right on. So, and I think your car analogy is perfect. You absolutely are right. We definitely should continue to have the right to drive. However, we shouldn't have the right to drive drunk. Right? We shouldn't be allowed to drive drunk, because that could wind up killing someone. So, yes, we should absolutely be able to go to Walmart, but wear a mask and stay 6 feet away from people. And that should be the guidelines. And rather than being 6 inches away from someone without a mask, that's the equivalent of driving drunk.
Well, then what happens if you don't have a mask on? And then, you know, see, then now you have all these other questions. I think, I don't, obviously we're not going to solve this in this discussion, Bill. Obviously we're not going to, but these are what's every, you know, the questions America's asking right now. Wait a minute. Okay, I'll give you a story. I went to Walmart yesterday. We always use Walmart. One, because it's about the only thing open. But, a lady there, a cashier I've known for a long time there, she's older. Her name is Marilyn. Love her to death. She's got this mask on her face. She's had two strokes in her life. She's telling me a story how she went home the other day and her husband was talking to her and she couldn't even put two words together. It's like she was having a stroke again. And she finally realized that what she was having problem with is getting oxygen to her brain, because she's sitting there working at Walmart for 8 hours, breathing in that mask and breathing in so much carbon dioxide, not getting oxygen. And so I said, well, put the mask under your nose where you breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, and then you get some oxygen. She said, well, the manager she'll get on to me. She'll, you know, yell at me and fire me if I do this. I said, I'll take care of this. I said, Marilyn, you're going to have a stroke if you do this. If you continue to keep oxygen depriving yourself, you're going to have a stroke. I said, you breathe. Let me talk to the lady. So I went to talk to the manager and I told her flat out, and she relented. I said, you are going to give her a stroke. See, these are the kind of questions and the things that people are having. I'm not convinced. And at first we were told masks don't even do anything. Don't even wear a mask. You remember that? And now we're told the masks do something. So I buy this mask Ace Hardware, and it's going to protect me from this deadly disease, blah, 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 blah. See, and then the government's trying to make these heavy-handed restrictions. What if I don't want to wear a mask? What if I'm going to have a stroke if I wear a mask? Or were you going to go to jail? You're going to get fined. You see, when you start getting into the realm of tyranny, to me, I don't know how you feel. That's a very difficult place to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are other choices that we can make as well. For example, I bought a scuba diving or a snorkeling mask for my daughter. This is years ago. And it covers your whole face. And it's got this snorkel that goes up over the top of your head. That is probably 10 times more protective than a mask. And it's $49. You can get it almost anywhere. And no problem with breathing, no issues with strokes. So there's alternatives to things that we can certainly look at doing. And it's a difficult one, no question about it. How do we do that? Can we keep someone maybe 6 feet away from someone else and then not have to wear a mask? That's certainly an option. And it is confusing. Well, you know, I think the mask is enough for us and right. Someone else.
I don't want to beat the dead horse, but I it's very, you know, having somebody of your ilk and being able to have this conversation is kind of fun to me. So I hope, please don't take this the wrong
no,
way.
I agree.
We're just going
yeah,
back and forth. Okay.
That's great.
The Fourth Amendment says you got to have, for you to exercise some control over me, you have to have a reason, a warrant. To say that it is dangerous for me to be 6 inches away from somebody, that's not necessarily true. That's a big assumption. In fact, that's an assumption outside the Fourth Amendment. Well, if you stand 6 inches away from somebody, that's dangerous. You don't know that. You don't know if I have coronavirus. You don't know what I have. Why don't they work on these tests instead of trying to lecture me about being 6 inches away from somebody? They have no idea if I'm a danger to somebody or not a danger to somebody. They have no idea. What about my children? Should we separate ourselves in our house? Are they going to make us separate ourselves in our house? Obviously, it's dangerous at the Five and Dime and not the Walmart to be around other people. See, that's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. If you tell me it is dangerous for you to be 6 inches away from somebody, that is not true. That is a blanket assumption that the government is making against the Fourth Amendment. That's what I would say.
Yeah, valid point. And I think, unfortunately, we're in a time where no one really has any answers. You know, we're in uncharted territory. And we don't know what the right answers are currently. We don't know if being 6 inches from someone is a death sentence for that person. We just don't know. And so it's kind of like taking a six shooter that maybe has, I don't know, 100 cylinders or 1,000 cylinders. We don't know the number, and spinning it, and maybe there's a bullet in there somewhere or 10 bullets in there. You just don't know. And so my opinion would be that regardless of whether I think it's a Fourth Amendment violation or not, you may be absolutely correct in that. Do I feel comfortable being 6 inches away from someone? And potentially, if I'm a carrier and don't know it, am I potentially risking that person's life? Well, I don't know. And so if I don't know, then why do I want to be 6 inches away from them? I would think, okay, you know what? I'm not going to be just because I don't know. In the same way that if I think maybe I'm sick, I'm just not going to breathe on someone. Or even if it's just a common cold, I wouldn't want to make somebody else sick.
I agree with you completely. I agree with you. But I completely agree with you. But then forcing me and forcing society to shut down over these possibilities and people can't make the decision and not willing to take their own risks and understanding their own body, that's two different things. Let's say there was 1,000 chambers in this gun in the Russian roulette and there was one bullet in it and he spun it. It's 1,000 chambers and there's only one bullet in it. And what would you ask America? America, would you take that shot to the head? Would you spin it for one chance, or would you shut down the economy and kill your jobs and kill American economically? Which would you rather do?
Yeah, valid point. And that I think is probably the real difficult question today, is how much risk are we willing to take as a nation, and who are we willing to risk? You know, those who are at risk. And, you know, there's a valid point that some people have gotten beat up for is, you know, gosh, only the people at risk are the old people and the ones who haven't taken care of their bodies. That's one point that some people are making. Who knows? Is that a valid argument? Difficult one. So you're right. You know, how many risks are we willing to take, and what are those risks? And are we killing more people by shutting down the economy than we are from the virus? Don't know yet.
Well, here's what I will say.
You're right.
I apologize. We went on and on about this. I thought it's timely and interesting conversation. I hope that you enjoyed it.
Good conversation.
Our founding fathers, I know what they would have said. I know pretty certain what they would have said. And if we're looking at this, the landscape we're looking over, I rather trust them than these people here that quote unquote supposedly in power. I'll leave it at that. Your book is called Spies of the Deep. I've used up all the time talking about this and going back and forth. We have 3 minutes literally. This book sounds extremely provocative, extremely interesting. Tell me about it in 3 minutes. Convince me to buy it.
Well, we have to go back to 99 in August, where Putin only had 2% of the vote. And a submarine called the Kursk went on a top secret mission and got very close to a Perry we've heard about, Theodore Roosevelt. And because of that mission success, Putin leveraged that to say he's going to bring Russia back to greatness. 53% of the vote a few months later in March of 2000. And then the submarine Kursk went down, and Putin leveraged that to gain control of oligarchs and to propel us back into a new Cold War today. A lot of things that we are seeing today came directly from that submarine. They were test firing a brand new torpedo that's now been reverse engineered. Iran has it. That's what's really going on over in Iran. North Korea now has one. China has reverse engineered this technology. There's all kinds of things.
Or stole it. Which one? Did they reverse engineer or steal it? Which one?
Well, they reverse engineer it because China actually bought 50 of them from Russia. It's called the Six of All. It's a rocket torpedo, four times faster than any of our torpedoes. And now wow. Russia has a new huge torpedo with a 100 megaton nuclear warhead on it. It uses the same technology. So this, we're concerned about coronavirus, but behind the scenes, there are some things going on that we cannot take our eye off the ball on. That's really what this book is about.
Wow. It sounds very interesting. I am fascinated by Russia. I detest China. I just detest their culture. I mean, they're taking people off the street and taking their kidneys from them. I mean, they aborted women like crazy, or girl babies like crazy. Their culture, I mean, am I wrong for thinking that? Do you have a different opinion maybe, Bill, or a different perspective to help me not be so biased towards them? But at least Russia, at least I feel some sympathy towards them to some degree. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been to Russia, been to St. Petersburg, and I have to say that my personal opinion, the Russian people are wonderful, warm, and loving people, not spoiled by any stretch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's the music. This has gone way too fast. I hope you've had a good time. Have you had a good time here?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I love these kind of passionate discussions. I think it's great to have these passionate discussions. I really enjoy it.
Well, fantastic. I really enjoyed you. I hope you come on again in the future. WCraigReed.com is the website. The new book, Spies of the Deep, The Untold Truth About the Most Terrifying Incident in Submarine Naval History. What a title. Does that make you want to read? It makes me want to read. God bless you, Bill. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen, the Power Hour. Remember, happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, Bill, you still there?
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.